Good morning, church. My name is Aaron Elmore. I'm the lead pastor here at the Kirk, and I just want to say thank you so much, Brother Paul, for being here with us. We're glad you could be here. From Centerville, this is a ministry that seeks to reach widows and orphans right at the center of God's heart and God's will for us as a church. It is a joy to partner with you, to bless your community, for you to come and be a part of what God's doing here and bless us as well. So we're really glad to have you. They did an event Thursday night. Yeah, let's show our love and appreciation for Paul. There was an event Thursday night here where they gave an update on what God's doing there. And so if you missed that or weren't able to watch the live stream, I encourage you to watch the recording of that after the fact. We'll make that available through our website, and you want to check that out. Well, we all have a unique combination of gifts, of abilities, of talents, of interests, and of opportunity. God gives us this combination as a gift of His grace. It is only in His sovereign mercy that you are who you are and you have the opportunities that you have. And this makes living within community both necessary but also appealing. Because all of us is good at something, but none of us is good at everything. There may be people that you look at their social media feed and you think, man, they have it all together. They got everything. They're talented at everything. I promise you, they're not. There's things that they're not good at. And so we need one another. God created it in such a way that we need a variety of different kinds of people. We need people who are good at building and creating, of making music, thinking, planning, helping, organizing, supporting, healing, mending, protecting, teaching, guiding. We need people who are good at innovating. People who are good at maintaining. We need a variety of different gifts in order to function together. I know I'm personally really grateful for people who are good at things that I'm not good at. For example, I could never have had a job in the medical field. I don't do blood. I don't do needles. I don't do any of that stuff, okay? Just, I'm going to close my eyes, lay me back, and just tell me when it's over. That's just, I can't do that. Or also, let's just take mechanical things. Cars, okay? I have no idea how cars work. I have never changed my own oil. And some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor Aaron, let me take you aside. Let me teach you some of this stuff. Now, here's the thing. I don't want to learn how to do that. I'm just not interested. I'm not good at it. It's frustrating to me. I'm very happy. I know how to fix a car. You pick up a phone, you call somebody, and they do it for you. And I'm happy to fund their grocery bill or their rent check with some of my money so that they can fix my car. And it's a blessing. We're not all good at everything. So then what is the difference between just a gift, a natural ability or a talent, and what the Bible calls a spiritual gift? Is there a difference? And I want to suggest today that I think the difference might not be as great as you think. New Testament scholar Craig Blomberg, one of my professors in seminary, he wrote about this passage. The range of functions covered by Paul's various lists of gifts make it likely that any combination of talents, abilities, and endowments, whether given or leisurely cultivated, may qualify as spiritual gifts. In other words, this category of spiritual gift is maybe broader than we realize. And what if the conversation about using our spiritual gifts and investing our talent, maybe if not, it's not so much a change in our behavior, there may be that needed, but what if it's a change in our perspective and our intentionality? In other words, what if it's simply taking the things that you're already good at, you're already talented with, that are life-giving to you, and simply being more intentional of recognizing where they come from and using them and leveraging them to be a blessing to other people, to share the grace of God and be a part of what God is doing. So I want to begin today by just offering a definition of what a spiritual gift is. This is not the best definition, the most complete definition, but it's just one to be a starting point in our conversation. So a spiritual gift is a talent, an ability, or an opportunity which is given by God's grace, and it's used to serve the life and mission of God's people. So what does it take to simply take a talent, an ability, which we call natural? We know it's really supernatural. It's given to us by God. What does it take to have those talents and those abilities become a spiritual gift? How do they become more than just a talent? Well, first, we have to recognize that they are by God's grace. And then we want to use them by God's grace and have them serve the purpose of sharing God's grace with other people. We want to leverage those abilities and not just use them for ourselves, But we want to use them to serve the life of the church, to bless other people in the church, but also to serve the mission of God's people, which ultimately is to share God's grace with as many people as possible. That's where our talents, those natural things that we're interested in and that we're good at, move to becoming a spiritual gift. This word in verse 4 of our passage that's called a spiritual gift, this word, it really means a grace gift. It's the word charisma, grace gift. And so a spiritual gift is really just a gift that is infused with the grace of God. So I hope today as we look at this scripture, we'll better understand the importance as God's people of discerning what our spiritual gifts are. And that's not a one-time thing. That's an ongoing, lifelong process. Discerning our gifts and then figuring out how we can leverage them for the glory of God and the good of our neighbor. That's when our gifts become spiritual gifts. They become infused by the grace of God when they're used specifically and intentionally to glorify God and bless other people. So, since we're jumping into the middle of a letter, I want to give you just a little bit of context on the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote it, and he wrote it to a group of people that he knew. He visited this city on his second missionary journey. This church had many spiritual immaturities, just like a lot of the churches that were fairly new. Some of them had come out of backgrounds of other religious practices, and so they had a number of issues that they wrote to Paul about. This letter that Paul's writing was actually in response to something they wrote to him, and they said, "Hey, Paul, here's the deal. We've got some issues in our church," and Paul wrote back to address those. One of the major concerns seems to be that the church lacked order and structure. It was just kind of chaotic. It was a mess. And so we need more structure around our corporate gatherings when we come together. And as it relates to spiritual gifts, it seems that there was a tendency in this church to emphasize the more dramatic spiritual gifts, the more supernatural, because their worship services, at least in this particular church, were more dynamic. They were more demonstrative in their worship. And so they'd begun to prioritize gifts that seemed to be in line with that. And so they really elevated people who were able to pray and miracles happened. Or they elevated gifts like prophecy and the ability to see into the future what God is doing and warn people or tell people about what's going to happen. They elevated the gifts that seemed more exciting. And this is kind of understandable. I mean, who doesn't want to pray and to see God have an instant miracle happen? I believe God does that. It doesn't happen every day. That's why it's called a miracle. It's an exception, but God does that, and we would all want that. But the thing is, we can't get caught up in gifts and the works of God that seem to be more exciting and more flashy. And this is what the church had done. So they started putting people on tiers of, okay, these are the super Christians, the people that can do this. And everybody else is just kind of down here. So in verses 1 to 3, at the beginning of this passage, I don't know if you're like me, but when I first read this section, the first verses seem a little disjointed from what happens after that when it's talking about spiritual gifts in verses 4. But what I think Paul is trying to do here in these first three verses is emphasizing the equality of believers in Christ. In other words, look, quit competing. Quit trying to have the gifts that other people have. Quit trying to be important. And recognize that all of the gifts are important. And what equalizes us is the fact that we profess Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what he's saying here in this opening section. That places us all on the same playing field. Look, we all have gifts. We all believe that Jesus is Lord, and therefore we're equalized. And if somebody's using gifts or seems to be effective and they're doing these demonstrative signs and wonders and they're not promoting that Jesus is Lord, then those are not spiritual gifts. They're not of God. But if they are, and they're using it to promote the lordship of Jesus and to build up the church, then they're spiritual gifts, and they're being used by God. So starting in verse 4, we see this, that simply God is the source of all spiritual gifts. They come from the Spirit, from the Lord, from God. Paul sneaks in a little bit of Trinitarian theology. He reminds us, right, that we're gifted and we're empowered by a God who is three in one, Father, Son, and Spirit. And just as the three persons of the Trinity have distinct roles and functions, they work together in unity. And so it's the same of us in the body of Christ. We have different roles, different gifts, but yet we're working together toward the same goal. We have a tendency with most things in life to try to make them about so much about us, right? And we do this in our spirituality. It's so much about our need, and we approach it from a very human-centered perspective. And the Bible, over and over again, is bringing us back to this perspective that no, yes, it is about you, but it is first and foremost always about God. And so it is with spiritual gifts, right? We treat our gifts as a way to promote ourselves, to get recognized by other people and congratulated, but our gifts really are for the purpose of serving God. It is His work, and it is His church. We also see in this section what I just alluded to, and that is that spiritual gifts are an expression of the unity and diversity of the church. Notice the repetition there of words different and the same. Different gifts, same Spirit. Different kinds of service, same Lord. Different kinds of work, same God. The design of God giving us different gifts was designed to cause us to need one another and to work together and to build unity. And yet the conversation around spiritual gifts often leads to disunity. People have, well, this gift, is it still for today or not? Or how should this gift function? Or what gifts do I have or not have? Or what gifts are real or what gifts are fake? I think that what we need to do is we need to recognize the diversity of the body of Christ. And that's in a lot of different ways. We've just come through a series where we've celebrated the ethnic and cultural diversity, the socioeconomic diversity of the church, and that was God's design. In this context, we see the diversity of the church represented through a variety of different talents and gifts and abilities. God created us to be good at different things on purpose, and so it is within the church. And I think this is an aspect of our message as Christian people that we need to leverage right now, because we're living in a time when people are desperately looking for a couple of things. One, they're looking for hope. And we're in the hope business, right? We believe that there is a hope, that God is still intervening in the world, that He's taking us somewhere, a trajectory of something better. But we're also in the business of celebrating unity and diversity. You see, the church is a unique place where God can gather so many different kinds of people around a central mission. This is an unusual thing in our world today. Our world is so divided, and yet in the church we believe that there is a unity of purpose in the midst of a variety, a diverse expression of people. There's something powerful about the gospel message that I think is always been unique and always been relevant, but we need to leverage this aspect of it right now, that the church is such a diverse group of people. There's space for all different kinds of folks to be a part of what God is doing, and so we need to celebrate that. Verse 7, we see that God gives all believers gifts. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Everyone who is in Christ has the Spirit, and therefore everyone who has the Spirit has spiritual gifts. And I believe it's more than one. So here's my theory, take it or leave it. I can't prove it chapter and verse. I'm not sure you could disprove it chapter and verse either. But my theory, as I've seen it in my own life and seen it in a couple of different churches about spiritual gifts, I believe that spiritual gifts, just as a principle, it's a much more dynamic or fluid idea than static. In other words, it's not so much about, okay, you need to figure out what your one gift is or what your few are, and then that's it. And then you just do those the rest of your life. What I've seen is, yes, there are patterns, there are things that we are gifted at, that God has enabled us to do so. But I also see that God has the ability, and often does, enable anyone to do anything at any time to accomplish His purposes. In other words, let's quit trying to put God in a box. Well, you know, I'm just not this type of person, so God can never use me in this way. Well, God created you how He created you, and He knows who you are, but would you remain open to being used by God in a way that you might not expect, that might not go with your typical personality or temperament? I've seen this at play so many times on mission trips. We know based on data we've collected from you all that about a third to a half of our church have been on a mission trip. I think if we add to that the number who've been involved in a local outreach in a setting that could be considered cross-cultural, it's a pretty significant number of you who've had an experience like this. And I don't know if it's the same for you, but when I go on a mission trip, I'm in a different headspace. When I go somewhere, I'm expecting God to ask me to do things that are outside of my normal range. I'm expecting that he's going to give me opportunities that are not a normal part of my life. I have a different expectation. I'm thinking differently. And I wonder what it would look like for us to approach every day as if it were a mission trip, to be open to God using us in ways that we might not expect it, or actually to expect that he would infuse our life with special grace to do special things, maybe that aren't a part of our normal skill set in life, but to say, God, I want to be open. Whatever you have for me today, whoever may come in my path, would you give me and would you open my eyes to see opportunities to be used by God? In other words, yes, we want to discern a few strengths, a few gifts that we have, but we don't want to just say, okay, I have this gift and I don't have that gift. We want to create an openness to God gifting us, even if just for moments or even for a season of life, God might gift you in a special way because that's what's needed and that's what God does. God gives us gifts in order to share his grace. So to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So what's the purpose of spiritual gifts, of God giving us these? It's for the common good. It's to glorify God and for the good of our neighbor. As I mentioned earlier, that's what takes it from just being a talent to then being used by God, being infused by his grace and becoming a spiritual gift. So then in verses 8 through 10, Paul gives us a list of different gifts here. I don't have time to unpack each and every one of those and what that looks like and to give you examples of them. Maybe we'll do that in another time, in another space, and make that available. But what I do want to do is take the gifts that are listed in this passage and add them to other lists that Paul uses elsewhere to get kind of a bigger snapshot of what spiritual gifts look like. And I've put them into kind of categories here. Again, there's different ways we could break this down. This is not the be-all, end-all way of thinking about spiritual gifts, but simply one way to organize them. So I've organized them into three categories: the supernatural, what I've called ministry here in the middle, and leadership. The supernatural, pretty obvious. Those are the ones that are more extraordinary, but yet ones I believe that God does do and give people to do. But I want to focus on this middle set here, what I've just called ministry. And if you notice, looking at this list of gifts, many of these, if not most of them, are things that elsewhere in Scripture, God calls all believers to do, right? They're just simply virtues. We're called to be people of faith, of course. We're called to be people of mercy, people who give, people who practice hospitality, who encourage. We're all called to evangelism. And yet, it's also listed as a spiritual gift. But we can't look at this list and go, well, I don't have the gift of encouragement, so I'm just not going to be an encouraging person. Well, no. We're all called to do that. I believe what this is suggesting is that while we're all called to do that, some people are especially called to do that. Now, it may be difficult to discern with some of these. Like, do I just have the normal Christian calling to give, or am I especially called to give? Am I just like a normal level encourager, or am I especially called? Well, I don't think we should lose sleep over that, right? Like, if it's something God's called you to do, pursue it. Put your passion into it. Be as encouraging as you can be. Pursue those gifts and don't try to figure out the status of where do I reach the level where it's officially a spiritual gift or not. I don't think that's all that helpful. I think it's actually good, and why I paint the picture on spiritual gifts so broad, because many of them are things that a lot of us are called to do. So let's not use the excuse, well, I'm gifted for this, I'm not gifted for that. In many ways, let's pursue as many of these things as we can. And then, of course, we see on the right side the gift of leadership. And these are the ones that I think in the contemporary church we often overemphasize, or maybe give special, you know, like back then they were looking for the miraculous and things like that. I think in many contemporary churches, at least in the United States, if our tendency is to over-elevate certain gifts, it would be that list right there. And I say that, I'm not saying disrespect me as a pastor or don't appreciate me, but I'm saying I think sometimes we elevate those, well, the pastor or the evangelist, we think those are the super Christians. No, Paul's saying don't do that. They're just gifts. They're all gifts. We're all here to serve God. I'm called to stand up here and try to communicate God's word. For some of you are like, I would rather go to the dentist than try to stand up there and do that. For others of you, your job, I'm like, no way. I wouldn't want to do what you do. We all have different gifts. Let's don't elevate certain gifts above others. Some people think their pastor is like the super Christian. We got a red phone, like straight to God. We can make special requests. I don't think so. I mean, not everybody agree with me on this, but I think we over-elevate certain gifts depending on our tradition and our space. I think the goal here is to say, look, there's a lot of different ways to serve God. Let's all do it, and let's do it together, and let's celebrate other people's gifts. Let's celebrate the success of other people in their gifts, not just within a church. Let's celebrate other churches and other ministries that are Christ-centered and gospel-centered and grace-centered. Let's celebrate the success of the kingdom of God wherever we find it, and quit competing. It's all for God's glory. It's all his work. He's the one who determines what gifts we have and how we use them. All these work for one and the same spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. So let's don't be envious of other people. Man, I wish I had that gift. I know that. We all do that. But let's celebrate. Okay, you know what, God? I'm grateful for who you've made me and the opportunities I have. Lord, help me to just use those gifts of your grace, infuse them with your grace, and help me to use them to bless other people. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you a video, a testimony from a couple of people in our church as they talk about why they serve and what that has meant to them. And then after that testimony video, I'm going to come back up and just share with us a couple of ways that we can more fully invest our talent in God's kingdom. So hope you'll be blessed by this testimony.
My name is Jenny Rollins.
My name is Brad Rollins.
We both feel like it's very important to serve at the church, that we come to serve, not to be served. So pretty much since we started at the Kirk, we wanted to get plugged in. We wanted to find a way to be involved.
In the New Testament, a lot it talks about the church being the bride of Christ. And very practically, something we picked up along the way was that a practical way for you to show your love to Jesus and express that is by loving his bride, by loving the church and by serving the church. And so we've just kind of gone into our church lives knowing that that's what we were going to do.
I have served on hospitality ministry and recently transitioned to serving in Kirk Kiddos every other Sunday in the nursery.
Since I've been at the Kirk, we have served in hospitality as an usher, greeter, handing out bulletins, taking up collections for the money, handing out Bibles. I've also served as an elder and a finance elder. We have co-led a small group, and now I'm serving in the sound booth on Sunday mornings.
I do not view myself as the most outgoing person, so when Nancy said, you know, we really need help with hospitality, we would love for you to get plugged in there, I was a little bit hesitant and nervous about that, but I quickly learned it's not that hard to smile and hand out a bulletin, and we found community on the hospitality team. We grew so close to the people we served with, and I definitely feel like serving in that ministry blessed me more than it did the church.
My name's Walt Pettit.
My name's Betsy Pettit.
When I first started serving, one of the areas that I served in was the Kirk Carpenters, and I showed up several times, and Richard Klein, who, you know, led the ministry for 25 years, you know, he would watch me, and, you know, I'd just be over there bending nails, and it'd just be awful. And one day he came up to me, and he handed me a Bible, and he said, "You like people, don't you, Walt?" And I go, "Yeah, I really do." And he goes, "There's a lady there. Go next door and hand her that Bible and tell her about Jesus." It's just an example of, you know, just bring your heart and serve, and you know, God will figure out a way to use you.
I didn't really grow up going to church, so at first coming to church was not very comfortable for me. And when I got asked to serve, it gave me a place to belong. And I think we all have talents. Sometimes it's hard for us to know what our own talents are. Other people sometimes will say, "Oh, you're good at this or good at that." And I think in serving for me, when I do something, whether it's working with WOW or whatever, if it's easy and I look forward to it, then I know I'm using my gifts.
You know, just like the scripture says, you know, like Jesus came to serve us. He didn't come for us to serve him. And you know, when he washed his disciples' feet, I mean, he said, let this be an example to you, and you'll do the same for others. You know, it's like anything else, you know, when you serve, you end up being the one that gets blessed.
So I want to suggest a couple of steps that we can all take to be more fully invested with our talent. The first one is simply awareness, being aware of what spiritual gifts are, a little bit of what we talked about today, recognizing that it's a very broad thing, and the lists in the Bible are indicative. They're not comprehensive, but they show different ways that we can be involved. And also looking at all the different ways that we have as Christians that we can leverage our talents, our abilities for the glory of God, but then specifically also looking to the opportunities that we have here to serve. We want to encourage you to be used by God outside the walls of this church. That is part of how the church works. That's part of the mission of the church. Things that we have no idea are going on, we celebrate them. We release you. We encourage you to do those. We also want you to pray about being a part of specific ministries that are happening through this church. If this is your church home, we hope that in some way you would be involved in serving some of the things that we feel that God has called us to do as a body specifically. And so we're going to ask you, starting next week, we're going to have a commitment card available where we're asking everyone to renew their commitment to be a part of the life and mission of the church. And one of the things we're going to ask you to do in that is to renew or to pursue a new way of serving God with your time and talents. And so I hope that you all will be praying about that. The second step is awareness. What are my gifts? Maybe you're very aware of that. Maybe it's something you haven't thought a whole lot about. We have developed, but several different ministries have developed what's called a spiritual gifts assessment or test. And I think this can be a helpful tool. Again, not to put us in a box of, okay, these are the only gifts I have, but as a starting place for you to be more self-aware of ways that you might serve. And so if you've never done one of those, or maybe it's been years since you've done one, I want to encourage you to just consider doing one of those. If you're watching online, we should have a link in our chat available now or coming up very soon that will direct you to that gifts test. And any of us can go to the homepage. There's a button there. You can click on that. This particular one has been made available to us through Influencers Ministry, the Journey Men's Groups. It's one gifts test. It's a good one. And there's others out there available. So I want to encourage you to consider taking that. But don't let that replace the personal responsibility of praying, discerning, seeking feedback. She mentioned in the video that sometimes other people will mention things that you're good at and put things on your radar. So getting feedback from other Christians and simply trying out ministries, trying out ways of serving, and seeing if that's what you feel like God is encouraging you to do. The third step is to make a commitment, to use your gifts, use your abilities to serve God, to do it on a regular basis. We know that it's important to make that commitment, and so pray about it and make the commitment to be used by God to invest your talents. And then finally, I end with this, and that is keep an openness. Don't put yourself in a box. Don't try to put God in a box. You can't. Remain open to serving outside of ways that you would normally serve. Being open to opportunities to be used by God, for him to infuse grace into your life to accomplish small things or great things for his glory. Remain open to ways that God might use you. So would you join me as we pray about these things? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who gives. You're a God who gives good gifts. You are a God who has given us the greatest gift in your Son, Jesus Christ. And that changes everything about our lives. It gives us hope. It gives us purpose. It invites us into a community. God, we thank you for your grace that you have poured into our lives. And we pray now, Father, that you would help us to share that grace with other people. God, in ways that we're already doing, that you would just continue to pour out your Spirit upon those ways that we're serving you and the gifts that we have. God, would you open our eyes up to new and unique opportunities? God, to serving you in different ways, as we're very aware our world is ever changing. And so, God, you are constantly redirecting your people. You give us creativity and vision to serve you in new ways, in new seasons. You are always doing a new thing, but it's always connected to that which you've already done, and that is the gospel. That is the good news of what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray, Father, as we as a church go through this process of discerning how you might best use us, that you would unify us as we serve you in a variety of ways. And it's all for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.